Today is Saturday, April 17th. We want to help you navigate the latest information about Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. Remember, earlier this week, the U.S. put the use of this particular vaccine on hold because of new questions about a potential rare but serious side effect, blood clots in the brain. So what does the data show right now? How worried should you really be about this? And what does it mean for the other types of COVID-19 vaccines available? We're getting answers today from Dr. William Moss. He's the executive director of the International Vaccine Access Center at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Here's our conversation. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Dr. William Moss, thank you for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
So first, just give us a brief overview about what's going on with these blood clots that have been seen so far connected to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
The United States, through the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, sets up vaccine safety surveillance. And this is happening with all vaccines, all COVID vaccines, but all other vaccines that are in use in the United States. And what happened is that through that surveillance system, they heard reports of six women between the ages of 18 and 48 who had developed a severe blood clots in the brain 6 days to about 14 days after receiving the vaccine. And this is exactly what this surveillance system is meant to detect. Now, people need to know that just because something is occurring after vaccination, an adverse event like this, it doesn't necessarily mean it's being caused by the vaccine. And so what's happening right now is that the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices met to discuss these six cases. We subsequently learned about two additional people, one woman and one man, who had a similar types of blood clots. And the trick is to try to understand what's happening. It requires careful investigation of these individual cases to try to see if they're really linked to the vaccine or not.
Right. So what questions are they trying to answer during this pause?
They're looking at the timing of the event. Does the timing make sense after vaccination? Did these individuals have other reasons, other underlying diseases or medications that may have predisposed them to get the severe blood clot? Are the number of events more than what we would expect in kind of the general population, or even in a population, let's say, of women under 50? Is this the rate of these types of blood clots that we would expect, or is this higher than what we would expect? So this is what's all playing out right now. You know, another reason given for the pause is to allow this information to get out not only to the public, but to healthcare providers to be on the lookout for this, to know how to manage it, for patients to or vaccine recipients to seek care should they develop signs or symptoms that are suggestive of a severe blood clot.
For people who have already received the Johnson & Johnson shot, what do you want to tell them specifically if they are feeling worried?
First, they should know that that this is a very safe and effective vaccine. That's been demonstrated. If these severe blood clots are truly caused by the vaccine, they're very, very rare. Current estimates are about 1 in 1,000,000. And just to put that in context, people have estimated that the risk of being hit by lightning in the United States is 1 in 500,000 or 700,000. So this was rarer than that event. So I think that's the first thing, so that people aren't concerned. But nevertheless, you know, people who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, I would say if it's more than a month since you received the vaccine, you have little to worry about in terms of these blood clots. The events are few and rare, but they have occurred within about 1 to 2 weeks after vaccination. For those who have received the vaccine within 1 to 2 weeks, people will feel, you know, some soreness. People may get a mild headache, fatigue. Some people get a fever. Those kind of signs or symptoms typically occur within 12 to 36 hours or so. And they're generally relatively mild. That you should not get concerned about. But if later than that, you know, someone gets a severe headache, a severe abdominal pain, have difficulty breathing or swelling the legs, then they should seek medical attention.
And to be clear, the risk of blood clots also exists with other commonly used things, right? Like birth control, for example, or even taking a long airplane flight.
You're exactly right. There are several hundred thousand episodes of blood clots in the United States per year. What I think triggered the pause is that these six individuals had a more severe type of blood clot in the venous system in the brain. It's called cerebral venous sinus thrombosis. And that is a more severe type of blood clot. That's more severe than saying getting a blood clot in your leg that some people may get from sitting in an airplane for a long period of time, for example.
Why do younger women 18 to 50, from what we've seen so far, seem to be at higher risk? Do we know yet?
The short answer is we do not know yet. Again, stressing the rarity of it. It looks like it may be a 1 in a million event. We do know that women are at higher risk of autoimmune diseases and whether that's related. We know, as you mentioned, you know, women who take birth control pills, pregnant women are at higher risk of blood clots. So there may be a hormonal component that places some individuals at higher risk, but there's still so much more to be learned about this.
Still ahead, we talk about the similarities and differences between the J&J shot and other COVID-19 vaccine options, and Dr. Moss shares what he calls his biggest concern about this vaccine pause. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. If there is anything that stops you from being your best and happiest self, why not fix that? It's sometimes tough for us to recognize on our own what might be holding us back, but a professional can help you identify it and move past it. BetterHelp is a great way to connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment, so it's convenient, confidential, and affordable. And their licensed counselors specialize in everything from grief to self-esteem to family conflicts and much more. Plus, you can communicate with them in whatever way works best for you. Text, chat, phone, and video, all from the comfort of your own home. If you've ever worried about the cost of traditional offline counseling, BetterHelp is more affordable and financial aid is available. In fact, as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. I want you to start living a happier life today. So join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Go to BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. This episode is also brought to you by Fitbod. Despite what social media may show, perfection is an illusion. But we can all strive to be the best version of ourselves. And Fitbod wants to help you achieve your fitness and health goals. Fitbod creates a fitness program that continually adapts to you, so you stay challenged with new exercises, pacing, and intensity based on where you are and where you want to be. And I love that Fitbod gets it, that the path to achieving your best look is different for everyone. In fact, their algorithm uses data and analytics to help build on your last workout to maximize your results. So whether you're exercising a couple times a week or every day, every workout is scientifically proven to be better than the last. Personalized training can be tough on the budget too, so Fitbod is only $9.99 a month or $59.99 a year. And right now, you can get 25% off your membership at fitbod.me/newsworthy. Pick up the pace on your fitness journey with Fitbod today, and your future self will thank you. Again, get 25% off when you go to fitbod.me/newsworthy. Okay, now back to my conversation with Dr. Moss. Similar severe blood clots have been seen connected to the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine, which is not yet available or authorized in the U.S., but has been one of the most commonly used vaccine around the world. What's similar about those cases, and why are we not seeing something similar with Moderna and Pfizer shots?
And I think that's another reason why the CDC and the FDA took this so seriously and pause the use of the vaccine. It's occurring in the context of blood clots being reported after the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine, particularly in a number of European countries. So there are parallels between what we've seen in the United States with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and what was seen in European countries with the AstraZeneca vaccine. Now, what's interesting is that both of these vaccines are what we call viral vector vaccines.
The underlying technology with the vaccines is the same.
Exactly. They use different adenovirus vectors, but the underlying technology is the same. Now, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines use a very different technology. So that fact, the similarities between the AstraZeneca vaccine and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines, at least raises the question as to whether this is something that is unique. Again, it's rare events, but is it unique to the adenovirus vector platform?
What's your message to anyone who feels this is proof that the vaccine process was rushed, or they're now feeling more worried or hesitant about getting the COVID-19 vaccine?
Yeah, so in no way does this reflect the development and evaluation was rushed. When we're talking about events, and again, I want to stress that it's still not conclusively demonstrated that these blood clots are related to the vaccine. But even if they were, and it's occurring at a rate of 1 per million vaccinated individuals, that's just not going to be detected in a large clinical trial. Even these trials that had tens of thousands of individuals, there was nothing rushed or faulty about the process, either the development, evaluation, and post-emergency use authorization surveillance. Those systems worked. Now, it's very understandable that some people may be concerned about this, and it's a tragic event when it occurs, but a very rare event. And people have to realize that the risk of severe COVID-19 remains quite high in the United States. We're still in the midst of this pandemic with 60, 70,000 cases each day, many thousands of people being hospitalized, hundreds, if not thousands of people dying each day. And so we have to put this risk in perspective.
From what we know right now, do you feel the Johnson & Johnson vaccine benefits still outweigh the risks?
So there's no doubt actually in my mind that the benefits of the vaccine outweigh the risk. But I can understand in a country like the United States, where there are multiple vaccines available, that people may choose not to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. We have the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, and we'll have enough doses of those two vaccines to vaccinate all adults in the United States who want to get vaccinated by the end of May. Where I think this is a more challenging problem are in countries that have really relied on the AstraZeneca vaccine and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to vaccinate their populations. There are advantages to these vaccines. Obviously, the J&J vaccine is a single-dose vaccine. Both the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine do not require the intensive cold storage that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines require. So they're really important vaccines globally for us to fight the pandemic. And my biggest concern is that the pause could damage or set back our global fight against the pandemic.
Anything else you want to add that we haven't already talked about, or just one final takeaway for the audience?
The most important public health message is that people should get vaccinated against COVID-19 when they have the chance. All three vaccines are highly protective against severe disease. And so for your own good, for your family's good, for the good of the public, please get vaccinated as quickly as possible, as quickly as you can.
thanks to Dr. Moss for his information and insights today, and thanks to you for tuning in. If you learned something new or found this episode helpful, please be sure to share it with a friend or on social media to help others better understand what is going on. And of course, we'll keep you updated as we learn more about this vaccine in our regular daily news roundups during the week. We give all the day's news in about 10 minutes every Monday through Friday. So we'll be back on Monday with more news to know. Until then, have a great weekend.